everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Cornercast. We're gearing up for San Diego Comic-Con, and we're really busy getting packing and getting all our appointments and everything, but we were able to kind of check off one of our interviews early. Spencer F. Lee, the director, creator, and writer of the newest documentary, From the Bridge, sat down with us this week to talk about making the film. The Bridge is narrated by George Takei, and it has an all-star cast. And when you hear that title, From the Bridge, and you hear George Takei is involved, you automatically think Star Trek, but it is an all-inclusive look at the world of pop culture, sci-fi, pretty much everything we do on the site and everything that Comic-Con brings to you. So it doesn't matter if you're a fan of the comic books or the toys or the movies or whatever, this documentary from Stan Lee to George Takei to Nichelle Nichols, everybody is in it. And the trailer, which will be linked to in the webpage for this podcast, really captures the first line from Gene Simmons, really captures the spirit of it and something I think all of us had said at one time or another. So Spencer and I sat down for about half an hour. It's a, you know, short little interview. We sat down, we talked. He talked about all the wonderful people that are in it, the journey of making it, and the possibility of doing more work, and kind of all the footage kind of gave him some ideas. So we're really excited to sit down and talk to him. Hopefully we'll have time to go to the panel and see some more footage from it and hear from some of the people that were in it. And we're really excited. So remember, check out the webpage to see the sizzle reel, the trailer. And remember to follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter for all the updates from San Diego. Hopkins and I will be there posting and taking pictures and doing podcasts and interviews. And it's a busy year, so we're really excited about it. So remember, check out the site, support the site, check out all our sponsors from Mike Comics and stuff to our Amazon banner. You know, click, link, post on Facebook what you got where, let us know, and ask us any questions. And we have some fun giveaways coming up. So before I pack this too much, just to let you know, if you're looking for any of the recent Marvel Legends waves, we have them, and we're going to be giving them away. It's going to be part of our Comic-Con celebrations and going into July and August. So make sure you check back on the site and look for it. We have the Lizard Wave, and we have the both Avengers Waves, and we have the Deadpool Wave 1 with the Build-A-Figure Sasquatch. So we've got all that to give away in the next few weeks. So remember to check back, enter, and share the word. So enjoy the... I had a great time talking to Spencer, and I hope you guys enjoy it too. And we're ready for Comic-Con. So here we go. So Spencer, how's it going today?
It's going great. How about yourself?
Not bad. Not bad. I'm gearing up for Comic-Con. Here you got something fun to talk about at the show.
Absolutely. I'm super excited for Comic-Con this year and to be at Comic-Con. And we're getting just days away, and I'm super stoked.
So tell us a little bit about the project and the panel that you're going to be part of this year at Comic-Con.
So the project is called From the Bridge. It's a feature film documentary about the iconic visionaries and creators of the genres of comic books, science fiction, horror, and fantasy. And we have a great cast put together. We have George Takei is the host of the show. Mm-hmm. And it's featuring brand new interviews with Stan Lee, Gene Simmons, Fangoria Starlog co-creator Kerry O'Quinn, Nichelle Nichols, Brian Fuller, who you might know as the creator of the Hannibal series, mm-hmm. as well as Pushing Daisies and Dead Like Me. And he was a writer on Star Trek Voyager, as well as Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And he was the showrunner and helped put together Star Trek Discovery, as well as being the showrunner on American Gods. He's in the film. We also have Tom DeSanto, and Tom was one of the writers on the first two X-Men films, as well as producers on both of them. And Tom basically was executive producer and created the Transformers live-action series. And he also helped bring Battlestar Galactica back to the reboot. Super talented man. We have Joe Dante, who you guys might know. He's directed one of my favorite movies of all time, which is The Howling. A great, scary werewolf film. Probably the scariest werewolf film ever made, actually. Super scary. Love that film. He also was the director of the first two Gremlin films. And okay. Gremlins is such a, that's such an iconic, great fantasy horror series. Love it, love it. Technically, it's Christmas. I mean, technically, it's a Christmas movie.
it definitely is.
It's so funny is that people don't, you know, when they think of Gremlins, the average person who might not know about it doesn't realize that it's a Christmas film, you know, but it's a scary Christmas film. It's great. Yeah,
definitely.
And we also have Neil Adams. And Neil is Neil likes to say that he's the mother of Superman and Batman. You know, obviously he's not Bob Kane and Jerry Siegel, but you know, he took Superman and Batman, you know, from their original in conception and brought them into the characters that we know and love today. You know, he made Batman the Dark Knight. You know, mm-hmm. he introduced a brand new way of drawing comic books and paneling comic books, and he revolutionized a lot of things for comic books, and a great creator. And also, you know, he was the creator of the first black superhero for DC Comics, which was, you know, Green Lantern, John Stewart.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so he has a great story about that, creating that character in the film. And so we have, Doug Jones is in the movie. And, you know, Doug, you guys and girls might know him as his last film that, you know, he won the Oscar, him and Guillermo del Toro, for The Shape of Water.
Right.
You know, he played the great aquatic, the god from the Amazon. You know, it was a wonderful character, really fun. And, of course, you guys might know him as Abe Sapien from Hellboy. And he played some really cool characters in one of my favorite movies of the last decade, which is Pan's Labyrinth. You know, that is, I could go on and on for two or three podcasts talking about Pan's Labyrinth. I really love that movie.
Yeah, he can be a real chameleon. Like, he's been in just about everything from sci-fi from top to bottom. Like, look at his credits on IMDb, it's just a laundry list of everything that we love in our fandom, so...
Yeah, he's even playing Commander Saru on Star Trek Discovery now. You know, mm-hmm. he's one of the bridge officers, as well as I don't know if everyone knows this or not, but you know, the iconic McDonald's commercials that they had with the guy with the moon head that was playing piano, that was Doug Jones as well.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like him and Douglas Tate. Douglas Tate is also in the film. And Doug has played lots of great creatures, all the way from, you know, he was one of the Jasons in Jason vs. Freddy, you know, and Doug has played in Grimm, you know, and he's actually, I think this is probably already announced, but he's one of the main characters in the new Hellboy movie as well. So, and I hope that wasn't a spoiler. I'm not sure, but
we didn't say what character.
Doug's in it. What's that?
I said we didn't say what character.
Right. So I don't know. I hope that didn't spoil anything. But he's a really, really super great guy. Very, very smart. Him and Doug Jones are like modern day Bela Lugosi's. Mm-hmm. You know, they can like turn into all these great monster characters. Both of those guys. You know, I had a wonderful interview with both of them in Los Angeles. I had them there on the same day. You know, and it was just a lot of fun. So who else is in the movie? Let me think here. Yeah, you know, Gene Simmons is in it. You know, Gene is super knowledgeable about these genres. He is a super fan of them, you know, and he's in it. Of course, I don't really know if we could call Gene a cosplayer or not, but kind of in a way, you know, because he took the Godzilla boots and he took the Black Bolt wings, and, you know, and he kind of took bits and pieces of all of his favorite characters to create his demon persona for Kiss.
Yeah, I think,
you know,
when you guys open, there's a teaser kind of sizzle reel for you guys for the documentary, and it opens with Gene Simmons talking and saying, I think the line that I think everybody who loves comics for years has said, you know, as a kid, I was made fun of for growing up reading comic books and just had to defend myself for liking that genre. And I think, you know, it turns around. I think him talking about it turning around is, I think, something that pulls at everybody's heartstrings that goes to Comic-Con.
Yeah, and, you know, Gene, my interview with Gene was around an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 45 minutes, maybe even 2 hours long. I don't know. It was a really good long interview. It was only supposed to have been 15 minutes, but it was a really long one. And Gene is super smart, and he has a lot of really important things to say in the film. You know, also, Howard Rothman is in the film. You know, Howard was one of the presidents of Lucasfilms for a long time. You know, he came on board with George Lucas during the filming of Empire Strikes Back, and he just recently, last summer, retired. You know, and Howard is the man who's responsible for the extended universe stuff with Star Wars. You know, after the first trilogy was made, you know, Howard kind of got with George and said, "Hey, look, you know, we need. You might not be making Star Wars movies right now or ever again. Of course, we know that he did, but at the time, he's like, but we need more stuff. You know, so they started doing the books by like Timothy Zahn, and they started doing the merchandising, and Howard as well. Whenever he created the template for merchandising with film, you know, it hadn't really been done before, and Howard kind of created it. You know, even today, what everyone uses for the templates for merchandising and films, it was Howard. He was an attorney who George brought on board during Empire Strikes Back, and of course, he went on to run the company, and he was the business side of it, and George was the creative side of it, and together they formed a partnership that lasted for decades. And, you know, so he's responsible for all of the wonderful extended universe stories that we have for Star Wars. And see, Steve Sansweet is in the film. Mm-hmm. And Steve, he worked for Lucasfilm. He was a writer for the Wall Street Journal originally. And he was a super fan of Star Wars. And he ended up working, he left the Wall Street Journal to go to work for Lucasfilm to be relations between fans and the company. You know, he was the fan outreach. And Steve has the largest collection of Star Wars memorabilia in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, he has Rancho Obi-Wan in Petaluma, California, which is around an hour outside of San Francisco. And that place is so friggin' amazing. You know, when I went there to interview Steve and we went into the museum, it's like, it's so overwhelming because, you know, I bought the original Star Wars figures when I was a kid, you know, and so all the little packages, like the original ones. So I knew what it was like to go into the store to find the really hard figures to find, you know, back then, you know, the ones that were super hard to find, the hardest one of all was Boba Fett. You know, he was like, I would call the stores in the morning time. You know, I knew like every day, or I say morning, but every day, like around 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I would call the store and say, "Hey, have you guys got any new Star Wars figures in yet?" And they're like, "Yeah, we just put a box out." Or if they hadn't put it out yet, I was like, "Well, can you go and tell me if this and this and this is on the shelf?" And I know that I must have pestered the crap out of all these people at these stores. So then they say, "Oh, yeah, we have one Boba Fett." And I was like, "Hey," I was like, "can you put my name on that and pull it by the cash register? And I'll have my mom come by and pick it up." Like, sure. You know, so I had my mom. I mean, gosh, I mean, I was a little kid. You know, I didn't know better. But I had, between Star Wars and the He-Man figures, like I had that one down too. Like, all the time, because, you know, He-Man would always have these really great, cool, villainous characters who would come out, you know. So I had to call up the local toy stores and the service merchandise stores.
Yep.
My mom, she put up with all my ridiculousness. So I would have her go pick up my figures. So I'd have to call, you know, but I remember all that. So when I got to Rancho Obi-Wan and I walked into the museum, the first thing you walk into is this like giant round display with like glass all the way around it, and inside it is all of the action figures, like the original ones, you know, from like the 70s and the 80s and the ones with the coins, and there's like hundreds, thousands of them still in the package, all the toys. And it's so overwhelming. I'm like this little kid. I mean, obviously nothing's for sale, but I'm like, gosh, I want that. When I open this, I want to play with that, you know. It's just really cool.
It just sparks something inside of you when you see those things. You get that feeling, absolutely, too, when you go to Comic-Con. I mean, I'm sure the museum was just mind-blowing, but you get that feeling, too, when you go to Comic-Con. You see stuff that you haven't seen in 20 years or 30 years, and you just look at it and you go, I remember seeing that hanging on a peg or being stocked on a shelf. It brings you right back.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. It's just such a nostalgic thing and a cool factor. And what's really neat is that, you know, Steve, I mean, I filmed and interviewed Steve there at the museum. So there'll be a lot of that on film. It'll be really cool to be able to share that with everyone. Mm-hmm. And what's neat about his collection, I mean, it's the largest one in the world. And also the museum's open, you know, I would definitely recommend all the Star Wars fans out there to check it out. Rancho Obi-Wan, Petaluma, California, and go look it up online And if you're visiting San Francisco and you're in the area and you want to go check out something super freaking cool, go to Rancho Obi-Wan. And I'll tell you this too, Petaluma is so beautiful. You know, it's like, it's all little country houses, and there's wild animals like deer everywhere in the roads and on the side of the roads, little baby skunks and tons of cows, and it's like chickens, and it's like, and it's beautiful. And what was so neat about being in Petaluma was I saw where George Lucas got the idea of what in The Phantom Menace, whenever they had the big war between the Gungans and the droid army. You know, he's got these giant green hills, you know, these rolling hills. That's Petaluma. You know, I'm telling you, that's exactly where it came from. You go to Petaluma, it looks like the planet of Naboo with the hills. It's exactly what it looks like. That's where it came from. You know, and it was just the coolest, man. And Steve was such a nice guy. You know, he had a lot of really wonderful things to say about George Lucas and about the fans and about Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. You know, Carrie had passed away. I was supposed to interview Carrie in Atlanta, Georgia, in November before The Force Awakens came out. And she got ill. She was going to be at a women's conference in Atlanta in early November, and she became ill and she missed it. So we were going to try to get back together again and do the interview, and unfortunately she passed away. So Steve had a lot of really wonderful things to say about Carrie and about women in fandom and women characters in action adventure films. You know, so we had a wonderful conversation about that.
So
who else is in the movie here? Oh, Adam Nimoy is in the film. You know, and Adam, he had already he was just coming off his doing For the Love of Spock.
Yeah.
So I had a really long interview with Adam, probably 2 hours or more. It was so funny. At the end of the interview, Adam's like, Spencer, I've given you all this blood. I've given you everything I have. You know, and literally, he gave me everything he had. You know, we talked about, it was kind of like the follow-up for the Love of Spock, mm-hmm. you know, because he had made the movie. He had been promoting the movie. He'd been out the road, meeting all the fans. And so I think that there's a great introspection from him about how that movie changed him. And of course, he added a lot of things in this film that I think that maybe he wanted wanted to say in the last one, or realized that could have said and didn't. Mm-hmm. So he had a lot of really cool things to say, and that was a great interview. And you know, Nichelle Nichols' interview was really nice as well too. You know, she talked a lot about Martin Luther King Jr. and her involvement in NASA, and Gene Roddenberry, as well as Leonard Nimoy. You know, and of course Rod Roddenberry. You know, had a great interview with him at his home. Him and his wife, Heidi, were nice enough to invite us in. And there was an interview that Kerry O'Quinn did with Gene Roddenberry that's never been aired before or released. And it's a really great interview. It's not just questions like, you know, what's your favorite color?
Right.
You know, it's really deep questions. And Rod had never heard this interview with his father before. And, of course, Kerry O'Quinn and his father were really close friends. So during Rod's interview, I played the whole Gene Roddenberry interview that Kerry had done with his father years before that Rod had never heard before. And Rod said, you know, there was things in the interview that Rod said that he didn't know about his father. You know, so that was really a cool moment to be able to share that with Rod. And, you know, that we got that stuff on film, which is really nice. So, you know, it's we have a lot of really great, wonderful interviews. Yes, it's absolutely freaking packed. And I got to tell you, I'm in the middle of editing it, and there's not much more to go. And it's going to be a good 2-hour film, you know. But it does. That being said, there's so much in it that I can't, you know, how do you cut history out? You know, and of course, the fans themselves. You know, I had some really great interviews with Leanna Vamp, and she's a huge cosplayer, super fan.
Yep.
I have a really nice interview with Cecil Grimes, who's also an uber cosplayer. You know, he looks just like Rick Grimes from Walking Dead.
It's amazing.
It's so uncanny. And when I interviewed Cecil, and I apologize to the gentleman from Germany that I'm not going to get his name right, but he looks just like Abram. You know, so I interviewed those guys together, and Cecil had built this really cool kind of replica set to take pictures on of the prison. Mm-hmm. You know, so that him and the gentleman from Germany that looks like Abrams. You know, they had a great interview. You know, so like I'm And of course, Stan Lee is in the film. You know, and Stan talked a lot about his inspirations for the characters he made and why he made them, and that he basically said that they're fairy tales. And he goes into a lot more detail talking about, you know, all the way from he was a teenager up till today. And, you know, I did direct filming at the Stan Lee handprint ceremony last summer at the Chinese Theater, mm-hmm. you know, when they put Stan's handprints in there. And that was a really wonderful experience to direct that. And, of course, there, Chadwick Boseman had some wonderful things to say, as well as Kevin Smith and Todd McFarlane and Kevin Feige and Stan himself. You know, so I have that stuff, that footage that we're putting into it. So, gosh, this movie is so, like, chock-packed with really cool people and cool stories. And it's like a complete geek fest, that's for sure. It's a love fest and a geek fest. And I'm, as you can tell, I'm so excited to be able to share this with everyone. I just can't wait.
It comes through. Now, this is not something that you kind of came up with quickly. This is something that took you years to put together. What was that journey like for you to kind of figure out what the through line was going to be and then trying to put those pieces together?
Well, wow. That's a giant answer. And it's like I just ran out of air from all the other answer, right? So anyway,
we can break it down.
So I had no idea that it was going to take 4 years to make the film. I mean, I was pretty naive, like most filmmakers are. Mm-hmm. You know, we go into a project and we think we're going to do it in 3 or 4 months and it's going to be out. It's so unrealistic. It never works that way. You know, so, it took 4 years. Yeah, it's been a labor of love, you know, and it's a great film, but gosh, there's been a lot of working from when I wake up to when I go to bed every day. And I'm not complaining by no means. Obviously, if I didn't want to do it, I wouldn't be doing it. But there is an awful lot of work that goes into it. And, you know, of course, I've designed a ton of things, you know, as well. You know, there's a really cool opening to the film that is this VFX intro with all these, like, really cool characters. You know, we've got celestial gods, and we've got floating cities and orbs in space, and we have Hades, and we have Zeus, and George Takei is orchestrating the galaxy and planets exploding and rocket ships, and, you know, these, like, alien chicks and surreal landscapes. We have, like, artificial intelligence and warps and suns, and I'm telling you, man, there's so much in the beginning of the film. And it's got a great score that we're putting to it, and it's pretty cool, pretty neat.
Now the title you guys came up with for it, From the Bridge, it sparks the, and having George Takei as the narrator really sparks the Star Trek theme, and it starts off feeling like it's going to be about Star Trek, but you guys have expanded it. So did it start out as a Star Trek inspired piece, or was it always, and everything kind of spun out of it, or did you guys always knew you were going to go wide with it and not just cover?
You know, I always knew I was going to go wide with it. You know, the From the Bridge title of the film is really from two things. Kerry O'Quinn's article that he wrote monthly in Starlog magazine was called From the Bridge. Mm-hmm. And in that article, he reached out to, I mean, this is before the internet, you know, we're talking about the 70s and 80s. And back then, we were super invisible. I mean, what I mean by that is that we weren't very organized. I mean, maybe in some big cities, sure. But for the most part, without the internet, the way that people kept in contact or learned about films was through Kerry's magazines, you know, Fangoria, Starlog, Cinemagic, Comic Scenes, and a lot of the other ones. So, you know, it felt to me like it was really organic that From the Bridge should be, since I originally approached Kerry and told Kerry I wanted to make this movie and got his blessing. And it was a tipping the hat to Kerry and what he did, you know, inspiring two generations of filmmakers, you know, everyone from Robert Rodriguez to Bryan Singer to Guillermo del Toro to J.J. Abrams and more. You know, Kerry, and of course, he also inspired visual effects makeup artists, VFX artists, actors themselves, the fans. I mean, gosh, you know, Fangoria and Starlog and Cinemagic were like it. You know, that was the glue that held everyone together. And, you know, and of course, Kerry also, you know, he put together the first ever Star Wars celebration on the 10th anniversary of the original Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And what Kerry did is, you know, he was friends with both George Lucas and Gene Roddenberry. and they had never met before. So as a surprise to the attendees and to George Lucas himself, he brought Gene Roddenberry out on stage and he introduced them. And that was the one and only time that they ever were together and ever met was then. And just so happens that it wasn't professionally recorded, which Carrie says is one of his biggest regrets. You know, he just didn't see that it was just a slip up. But thank God, you know, a fan was in the audience with their old school VHS handheld camera recorder, and they captured the moment on film. I mean, it's super shaky. I'm actually having it cleaned up, and we'll see what we can do to process it. But yeah, it's the only footage in existence of those two guys meeting for the one and only time. And they sent it to Carrie. You know, they sent the film to Carrie, and he handed it off to me. And it's going to be in the film too. So it's a very historic footage, very cool. You know, if you Google it on the internet, the only thing out there is one photograph of those two guys together on stage. Mm-hmm. But we have a video of it, and you know, they talk amongst one another and talk about Star Trek and Star Wars together, and the audience goes crazy and loves it. You know, so we get to share that with everyone too. And of course, there's a really cool interview with Leonard Nimoy that Carrie did that's never been released before either. You know, Carrie also did Twilight Zone commercials with Rod Serling. You know, he won awards, the Clio Award for that. You know, so Carrie, he knew Ayn Rand very well. You know, he was hanging out with her and Alan Greenspan and Nathan Daniels. You know, so Carrie has had such an amazing life. So there's so much history and so many great stories from the artists as well as the fans themselves.
Mm-hmm. And when you're pulling all together, I'm a fan of the Adam Carolla podcast, and I listened to him talking about him starting to do documentaries and changing things. And when you're working on this, do you start to see other ideas that, you know, you couldn't fit in this one, or seem like they can be their own documentary that you're kind of eyeing and looking at? You think you're going to jump in and do another one?
You know, it's so funny you say that, because I recently broke another film out of the footage, you know. So From the Bridge, I'm obviously focusing everything on that right now, but there was some footage for another story kind of percolating in with the other footage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance, very, very good chance, that there will be a second documentary out of the footage coming. You know, this is kind of the first time I've ever talked about it publicly, but yeah, there's a very good chance that it's going to happen.
And what's it like then taking this, the idea of, I mean, you've been to Comic-Con, you've seen the fandom, you've seen what it's like, you know, we're about a week out and it's all out. Like, it's just everywhere. You go all over town. What's it like being able to bring a project, or the idea of bringing a project here and showing pieces of it to the fans and talking about it for the first time?
It feels great. You know, I'm having a wonderful time with our interview right now, you know, so that's kind of the same energy that I have with sharing it with everyone. You know, I love talking. This stuff is my passion in my life, and I love talking about it, and I could talk forever about it. Yeah. You know? So I'm looking forward to meeting as many fans as possible, you know, and I'll answer whatever questions I can from whoever asked me there. And I'm looking very forward to it. I'm looking very forward to seeing what people think about what we're going to show them. You know, you mentioned earlier that the teaser trailer is out, and it is, we put it on YouTube, and we also have a Facebook page, From the Bridge. There's a lot of interview stuff and pictures and behind the scenes things, as well as the trailer there. And whenever we do Comic-Con, we're starting Comic-Con off at 10 o'clock in the morning that Thursday. We'll be in Ballroom 20. It holds 4,000 people. And I'll say this right now. I just told our production manager yesterday that I'm going to print up 4,000 mini posters, and I'm going to sign every one of them. And I'm going to make sure that every person in attendance is going to get a signed mini poster from the event. You know, as well as I've designed some trading cards too. I'm going to kind of go old school a little bit. You know, it makes me think back when I was younger and Superman came out, and even Star Wars, and I used to always love to buy the packs with the bubble gum in them at the candy section at the grocery store and the gas station. So I'm going to do trading cards, you know, but these, I'm giving them away for free though. I'm not selling them, and there's going to be no bubble gum involved, you know, but I'm going to pass those out. You know, I've got a lot of them, and there's going to be a set of 225 of them.
Okay.
And I'm going to release the first 50 during Comic-Con, and I'm going to pass them out, me and the crew, the executive producer, George Noe, as well as Lachelle Hunt, our production manager. We'll be passing out those trading cards, you know, and hopefully the fans will really like that. You know, we're just going to give them away. And so I'm looking forward to seeing everyone there at Ballroom 20, you know, and I'm going to give the mini posters and the cards, and I'm going to answer as many questions as I can. And, you know, I hope to make a lot of people happy.
Well, I can't think of a better way to kick off the show. Like, one of the first panels of the week and of the weekend, and just a great way to kick off the show. So, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk to us while you're still editing.
It was my pleasure. My absolute pleasure.
And remember to check out FromTheBridgeMovie.com. And they've got Facebook and Twitter, and we'll be posting all this up. And we're hopefully going to be in attendance at the panel if we can get into Ballroom 20. That's always the trick, trying to get into those rooms. So thank you, Spencer. And thanks for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. Thanks.
You too. All right.
Bye-bye.